Have you noticed the tension on your last airline flight? Maybe it was the guy in 17C who wouldn't put his bag under the seat. Maybe it was the group in the back who got a little too loud after their third round. Or maybe it was something worse. Something that made the flight attendants exchange that look. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Today we're talking about what's happening in the cabin behind the cockpit door, and why airlines around the world are fundamentally rethinking how they train the people who work back there. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So here's what's going on. Airlines in 2026 are dealing with what industry trainers are calling a dual passenger crisis. On one side, you have a persistent rise in unruly and aggressive passenger behavior. We're not just talking about someone being rude to a gate agent. We're talking about physical altercations, passengers rushing the galley, verbal threats against crew members, and incidents that require physical restraint at 39,000 feet. The International Air Transport Association, or IATA, has been tracking these numbers for years, and while the post-pandemic spike got the most attention, the problem hasn't gone away. It's evolved on the other side of this crisis. You have anxious passengers, people who are genuinely frightened. Maybe it's turbulence, maybe it's claustrophobia, maybe it's a first flight after a traumatic experience. These passengers aren't hostile, they're panicking. And a panicking passenger in an enclosed aluminum tube at altitude presents its own set of very real safety challenges. A person in full panic can block an aisle during an evacuation. They can trigger a cascade of fear in the passengers around them. They can grab a crew member at exactly the wrong moment. Here's the thing. The traditional training model for cabin crew treated these as two separate problems. De-escalation techniques for the aggressive passenger. Reassurance techniques for the aggressive passenger. Reassurance techniques for the anxious one. But what airlines and training organizations are recognizing now is that these two situations feed each other. An aggressive passenger can trigger panic in nearby travelers. A panicking passenger can escalate the stress level in the cabin to the point where someone else becomes aggressive, and a flight attendant who's been trained only to handle one of those scenarios can find themselves completely overwhelmed when both are happening simultaneously in the same cabin. Simple Flying reported this week on how major carriers and training providers are overhauling their crew training programs to address exactly this overlap. The new approach integrates conflict management and psychological first aid into a single framework. Instead of teaching crew members a checklist for hostile passengers and a separate checklist for distressed passengers, the training now focuses on reading the entire cabin environment and making real-time decisions about where the greatest risk is developing. Some of the specific changes are worth noting. Several carriers are now using scenario-based simulations that deliberately combine both crisis types. A training exercise might start with a verbally abusive passenger in row 12 and then introduce a hyperventilating passenger three rows back. The crew member has to manage both, prioritize, communicate with the flight deck, and coordinate with other crew all at once. That's a much more realistic reflection of what actually happens on a bad day at flight level 350. There's also a significant push toward what trainers are calling emotional resilience conditioning. This isn't about making flight attendants tougher, it's about giving them the psychological tools to stay regulated themselves when everything around them is falling apart. Because here's a reality that doesn't get discussed enough. A crew member who becomes emotionally flooded by an aggressive encounter loses their ability to calmly manage the anxious passengers who are watching the whole thing unfold. The crew member's composure is, in a very real sense, a safety system. When it fails, the situation degrades fast. Now, why should this matter to you if you're a general aviation pilot who hasn't set foot in an airline cabin in months? A couple of reasons. First, if you fly passengers, even just friends and family in your Bonanza or your Cherokee, you're dealing with the same human psychology on a smaller scale. You've probably had a nervous passenger before, maybe someone who went quiet during turbulence, maybe someone who grabbed the yoke, the principles that airlines are building into their new training. Reading stress levels, managing your own emotional state, understanding that one person's anxiety can affect everyone else in the aircraft. Those principles apply to a four-seat airplane just as much as they apply to a 777. Second, this training overhaul reflects a broader shift in how the aviation industry thinks about human factors. For decades, crew resource management focused primarily on the people operating the aircraft. The recognition that passenger behavior is a genuine operational safety variable, not just a customer service problem, is a meaningful evolution. The Federal Aviation Administration and international regulators have been pushing carriers to take disruptive passenger events more seriously in their safety management systems. This training redesign is part of that larger response. And third, there's a practical angle. If you're a flight instructor, you deal with stressed humans in small airplanes every single day. A student on their first stall recovery is, neurologically speaking, not that different from an anxious airline passenger hitting severe turbulence. Their prefrontal cortex is going offline. Their decision-making is degraded. Understanding how to keep them functional and how to keep yourself functional while they're struggling. That's not soft skills. That's core airmanship. The airlines are also grappling with a workforce challenge here. Crew turnover has been significant since 2020, and many of the flight attendants working the line today have less than 5 years of experience. They didn't come up through an era when unruly passengers were a once-a-year event. For them, it's a regular Tuesday. The training has to account for the fact that these crew members need to build competence quickly in situations that used to be considered exceptional. One detail from the Simple Flying report that caught my attention, some training programs are now incorporating input from behavioral psychologists and even law enforcement de-escalation experts. The cross-pollination between aviation safety and other high-stress professions is producing techniques that are genuinely new to the airline training world. Things like strategic positioning in the cabin, using voice tone and cadence to interrupt an escalation cycle, and recognizing the physiological precursors to violence before the first punch is thrown. Here's what I think the headline doesn't tell the whole story on. This isn't just about making flights more pleasant. This is about evacuation readiness. An aircraft evacuation has to happen in 90 seconds or less. That's the certification standard. Every second that a crew member spends managing a combative or panicking passenger during an emergency is a second that isn't being spent getting people out of the airplane. Training crew to handle the behavioral dimension of an emergency isn't a nice to have. It's a survival issue. The industry is finally treating it that way. That story came from Simple Flying, and it's worth a read if you want the full picture. You can find more at RadioHangar.com. I'm Tower, fly safe, and keep your head on a swivel, whether you're in the left seat or working the aisle. See you next time!